Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, learning something about the work of the gospel, which should be of interest to all Christians, for all of us need to see ourselves as involved in the work of the gospel in some way. Different ways for all of us, virtually, but nevertheless, every one of us involved in some way. And so in Romans chapter 15, we learn some things about this from the life of the Apostle Paul, as he is making what is generally considered to be personal comments about his life and ministry to the church at Rome about their personal circumstances. But nevertheless, in gleaning through this, we learn some very valuable principles about the work of the gospel in general. And the first thing that we have already talked about is the place of that work. And it is just simply to say that God calls different people to different places. And as simple as that is, that does seem to become very difficult and troubling and problematic for some to understand how I know where I am to be involved. And we saw in the life of the Apostle Paul that there were a combination of factors that revealed this information to him. In his case, some of these things were quite spectacular. They'd fall into the category of miraculous. Being struck down on the Damascus Road and the voice speaking to him from heaven. Quite unusual. Not so unusual in the day of apostles, but still, even in that day, it wasn't an everyday occurrence. The vision that he saw in Troas from the Macedonian man beckoning and saying, come over and help us. Those are rather spectacular things. Sometimes people are looking for that and not receiving it. They then are perplexed as to how they can know where they should serve. Other people, so intent on receiving things like that, I think make themselves prey to satanic deception. And in their minds, they conjure up things like that, or perhaps our adversary, the devil, who dwells in the spirit world, is able sometimes to counterfeit these kinds of experiences and greatly lead people astray. I know Christians who are convinced that God speaks to them directly. God showed them this. God told them that. They're very convinced of it. And in some cases, their lives are openly disobedient to the Bible in such basic matters as thou shalt not commit adultery. And yet it doesn't seem to bother them one iota because they feel that they have divine guidance. Divine revelation, not only divine permission, but divine direction to do these things, that God has given them information, which is the exception to the rule for everybody else. Yes, this is a general rule. Thou shalt not commit adultery, but God led me to do this, and I know it was of God. It's almost humorous, if it were not so tragic, that people could get so deceived, become so convinced that God is speaking to them and leading them and telling them to do these things, that they are willing to disregard the objective written word of God and submit the Bible to their visions and voices and impressions. Surely you should understand, surely we should all understand there's something radically wrong with that. Well, dear friends, you need to realize that what's radically wrong with that is letting go of the truth that the Bible, the inscripturated revelation, the written Word of God, is always superior, It is always preeminent, and it judges our experiences, not the other way around. Our experiences don't trump the Bible. The Bible trumps our experiences. And if that is not so, and if that is not insisted upon, and if that is not held to as a guiding principle in our lives, then there is no firm foundation of truth. There is no absolute standard for certain guidance in our lives. There is nothing that we can be certain of as true, because that which the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has considered to be the source of truth, namely the Bible, down through the years, is now being superseded by these personal claims to visions and voices and spiritual guidance from God. You say, well, doesn't God guide people personally? He does, and I want to be quick to say that he does, but we can be deceived by Satan in that very area where we think we are strong if we don't maintain this principle that the Bible always judges every experience. The Bible must always be considered the superior truth to every experience. The Bible must always be considered the interpreter of every experience. We can have experiences, but frankly, dear friend, frankly, we have no way of knowing whether they were of God or if they came from our own psyche, our own hearts, our own mind, our own feelings, our own emotions, our own impressions, or if they came to us from another outside spiritual source other than God. Satan is a master deceiver, and he does have amazing power, and he doesn't come as a man with horns and pitchfork. He comes as a messenger of God, dressed as an angel of light, and so he will deceive people into thinking that he is the messenger of God. And how can we tell whether he is or not? How can we tell whether this message that is coming to us, whether it be coming to us from a human messenger, or coming to us in a dream or a vision or whatever, some kind of inward impression, how can we know whether that is from God or from Satan, or, as I say, being conjured up from somewhere within ourselves? How can we know that if we don't have any objective truth to evaluate it? Well, the Bible is that objective truth. Now, sometimes we get into trouble because we recognize that the Bible doesn't speak to everything. It is not a manual on every problem. It is not an encyclopedia to answer every question. As we found, as I'm sure you found, even large encyclopedias of 20 or more volumes don't always answer every question. Sometimes the thing I want to look up in the encyclopedia that's on my shelf turns out not to be there. That happened to me here a few weeks ago when somebody in our church had a father to die that involved all of his life, was involved all of his life in missionary work among the Hmong people, Hmong, in Cambodia and Laos and Vietnam. Well, I got a little curious about these Hmong people, so I went to my encyclopedia, pulled it off, and looked it up, and it wasn't there. Nothing there. So somebody went to Wikipedia, the internet encyclopedia, and found something for me. I guess I could have done that. I just didn't think about it. I'm still more a child of the library age than the computer age. I'm using a computer and I think doing fairly well for an old guy who didn't start till rather late in life, but some things I still just don't think about. I'm aware that there is Wikipedia there, but I don't think about it. And I'm also aware that because it is something that anybody can contribute to and nobody is checking for accuracy, that it can be a wealth of misinformation as well as information. So anyway, all that aside, my point is that in this case, nothing was there. Well, sometimes that's the way it is with the Bible, or so it seems. We have this question, you know, shall I take this job or that job? Well, I can't open up the Bible. The Bible doesn't say, I want you to go work for Corporation A as opposed to Corporation B. It's not in there. So how do we know? How do we get guidance from the Bible in questions like that? Well, we have to realize that the Bible does contain a lot of helpful information, a lot of principles, a lot of precepts, a lot of general revelation of God's will that will be helpful even in choosing between Corporation A and B if we have taken in enough of God's word to be able to recognize those principles when they come along. But when it really comes down to it, if there isn't any obvious reason why you should choose Corporation A over B, that there's an obviously better opportunity to serve as a Christian there, it's obviously a more company with a more of a moral base or whatever. There are a lot of things that you could be looking for. I mean, there's so many. Location, how responsibility, schedule, how it's going to take you away from your family, and all kinds of things that have bearings and have biblical precepts that apply, though not these kinds of ironclad absolutes that will always make the decision for you, but all of these things ought to be taken into account. You can factor this in, factor that in, and it's helpful for me when I'm having questions like this to take a yellow pad. I do everything on yellow pads, start out doing everything on yellow pad, and eventually get to the computer, and make a list. Do's and don'ts, or plushes and minuses, pros and cons, and write a line down the list, middle of the page, and write the advantages on one side, the disadvantages on the other side. That can be very helpful to see it on paper. Sometimes I realize, well, there's a whole lot more pluses here than I realized. I can come up with 15 or 20 or 25 pluses and only 3 or 4 minuses. But of course, it may be that the minuses are of such degree, such magnitude, that they, in effect, cancel out a whole lot of the pluses. Well, these are the sort of things you have to weigh. And here's the bottom line. Because the Bible doesn't tell you Corporation A as opposed to Corporation B, you have to pray and ask for God's guidance and think about these pluses and minuses, and then you will get impressions. And these are subjective. They are within you. But you will get a sense that I think I ought to do this. Now, the question is that God guiding you, or is that your own inward impression? Well, at this point, when you've done everything you can to seek the divine revelation that you know is available to you, to take into account all the biblical information that could help you, when you acknowledge that that is the superior revelation, you're not trying to override it with your own impressions, but it comes down to impressions, then you have to believe that the Spirit of God who is within you will guide your impressions. But you get in danger, you get in trouble, when you think your impressions are so infallible that they can cancel out the objective written word of God. That's where you are in heap big trouble, because sometimes impressions are wrong. Sometimes they're not from God. And how can you tell? And here we go back around again. And so think on these things. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.